Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves. Joining me in the dugout from a safe distance, my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And on the bullpen phone, my other pal, Chris Zook.
Ringer, ringer, ringer. I am back. Let's go.
Oh, my goodness.
His short stint on the IL, and he's coming back strong,
oh,
I tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, it's more fun when all three of us are together.
This is a spring training IL, right? These are those like I tweaked something and just need to sit out a day or two. And
yeah, it was like Brian Buxton kind of, you know, ate the steak too much, I guess. There, did you hear
Byron,
about that one?
Byron Buxton, you mean?
Yeah. What did I say?
Brian, his sure, lesser known brother.
I'm sorry. Did you hear he had another injury? Did
of
you hear about
he
this?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. This guy.
See, this is why I never draft him, because even though he's a tremendous player, you just know he's going to end up on the IL at least once, maybe more.
Am I right about this, that he chips a tooth eating a steak? Is this what I heard? Am I right about that?
It's possible. I could see it happening. I don't know.
I mean, not the craziest injury to happen this week in baseball either.
Okay, enlighten me. I don't know.
Well, Spencer Torkelson cut his finger trying to open up a can of beans without a can opener, trying to make salsa.
Whoa, say that again. Say that again.
Spencer Torkelson, top 10 ranked prospect, yep. Tigers prospect. It was at an Airbnb with a bunch of his buddies.
Okay.
And they were trying, it was his turn to make food. And he was trying to make salsa, and he was trying to open up a can of beans to make corn and bean salsa. And they didn't have a can opener. So he was trying to open up the can without a can opener, and he cut his finger open.
I'm going to sound like old man on the porch here. That doesn't make any sense.
You can't fix stupid sometimes.
I get that, but like, I mean, we're talking about, I know they're making budget cuts in the major leagues here a bit, but you think they could give a can opener to some of their
I don't think they knew what he was doing. He was just in an Airbnb with a bunch of his buddies,
so it wasn't even like a team facility.
Okay, no. But even it's just okay,
but
yeah.
They could, like, you know, provide him with enough dough to rent from a place that would have a can opener, right?
I mean, just check to see if there's a can opener there.
Also, here's the thing. They do think, I still believe their stores are open in the States, right? Like, it's wide open now, right?
Wide open everywhere.
Wide open, right? So I think can openers are being sold. Like, I don't think they're being quarantined, right?
I mean, you can go into a store here and get a can opener. Stores are still open here. You can walk into a Walmart here and buy a can opener, Zook. So...
Okay, yeah, that's the worst one of the week. There's no doubt about that. That's insane.
Chipping your tooth on a steak is a freak accident that's caused by, you know, just Yeah, exactly.
It's but it only happens weird. To Buxton, right? Like,
is it a bone in? Was he having a T-bone? I'm just trying to.
I have to imagine.
There's got to be something in this.
Cutting your finger on a steak, cutting your finger on a can, trying to open it without a can opener. That's.
I don't even understand.
I don't get it either.
What he thinks he's like
probably with
one of the X-Men or something that he's just gonna
Probably a knife. He probably went to the and took a steak knife and was trying to figure out trying to open it with a steak knife, and it slipped probably on the top of the can. I don't know for sure, but if I had to guess,
even if you're just go with that premise a bit, you're trying to open something like that. Your livelihood is your body, isn't it? Like these guys, he's a prospect, right? Why would you?
He's trying to get that protein.
You gotta impress the boys. You have to make that.
Now again, you know, maybe I'm talking out of turn here. Do we not have these things that are prepackaged now? Can't they just get this? Like, why do they like?
But also, like,
kudos to a young guy for cooking. I'll give him that.
Well, okay, well, I'll read the exact.
Really, because
I'll
he didn't really the exact, cook very well. He didn't actually get the cooking done. He tried to cook.
Okay.
But I wouldn't go kudos.
I'll read the exact quote. Quote, the boys were hungry and I was in charge of dinner that night. I was making corn salsa. There was a can of beans to put in. The Airbnb didn't have a can opener, so we had to improvise.
But the improvising, I'm missing something here because improvising also could be, or you just go to your local, you know, CVS or whatever is just across.
Also correct. Also correct.
For like five bucks, maybe.
I'm not defending him.
No, I'm not defending him here.
I'm just telling you, this is probably how it happened. They went.
They probably
had a few brews in. I'm not reporting anything. I'm just saying, speculating. They probably had a few brews in.
Goes well with salsa.
The boys were hungry, as stated. I don't have to speculate on that. The boys were in fact hungry. He probably saw no can opener, tried to knife it open.
It's pretty stupid.
And I got that
because you know what? When I think about it now, you're totally right. Is that, you know, the pressure to get that salsa to be complete like right away because the boys were hungry, right?
Boys were hungry. Zook.
They were really hungry, and so. He needed to do it right away. He had no time to get to that drugstore to get a can of it. Had to get it open just that moment.
The boys were hungry. You got to get it open.
I hear they have a service in the States called Postmates. Like you could even get someone else to deliver the can opener for you.
I bet you there's a service. You could just pay someone to open it. These are all true. Could you Kijiji it, say, hey, does someone have a can opener? Come on over right now and we'll pay
it's
you
Craigslist
20 bucks.
In the States.
Or whatever it is.
But to be fair, he's probably not getting paid a lot because MLB owners are cheap. And he's probably making 60,000 maybe?
Sure.
Probably less than that.
He's in the minors, of course. Chances are he.
No, the
may
boys
make
are hungry.
The,
I mean,
the boys were hungry.
I get that. I mean, Michael. I mean, when you think about it for a second, I mean, when you got to feed the hunger. You got to feed the hunger. I mean,
you know what he could eat? A turkey sub. I don't know if you heard about Jesus Luzardo's new pitch.
No.
Okay, so Jesus Luzardo unveiled a new pitch this week against the Rangers. It is a funky 65-mile-per-hour looping breaking ball.
Okay. Oh, that's dirty.
That he's been developing since last season. The name of the pitch was inspired by Brian Howard, A's right-handed prospect, who was Luzardo's teammate at AA Midland. He's never thrown the pitch in a major league game, but apparently he's been working to incorporate it into his repertoire. And it's a compliment to the fastballs that he was delivering around 94 to 96 miles per hour. According to the piece I read on MLB.com by Martin Gallegos, it landed at the bottom of the strike zone and just absolutely froze Leody Taveras at the plate. He calls it the turkey sub.
That's such a weird name.
Intends to unleash it in games this season.
I feel there's also that. He's probably called it that so he can get some sponsorship on this pitch or something. The turkey.
Well, they certainly need a new pitch man. So,
Oh my God. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, but this is the classic. What we're in right now are just classic spring training stories, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because
there's been some fantastic.
because this is the only these stories come out at this time, right? Because there's you're in the in between of the games. We're not quite there to the start of the season, but we're into it already now, right? So you got to kind of, you know, make stories and have people interested in stuff, and you know, good on the players to really, you know, come up with some good stuff this week. I did not know about the sub or the beans there. So I mean,
so it is a good time if you're interested in kind of like scouting pitchers and seeing who's working on stuff and seeing what they're able to do in game in spring training. I mean, obviously it's like limited sample size, but at the same time it shows kind of what they've been developing in the off season and can, I mean, certainly, I mean, I don't think we want to get like fully into fantasy baseball, but talking about kind of like scouting pitchers that you have hopes for in the upcoming season, this is when you kind of see them.
Oh yeah. Anytime I see somebody is saying like, oh, we busted out a new pitch, we really like how it's working, I'm jumping all over it. So I'm going to try and buy every single possible share I can of the Jesus Lizard this year.
Now I'm going to go back, cause Michael, you just jogged my memory here. This new rule about the if the pitcher gets to 20 pitches in an inning and we don't like what's going on, we just call the inning. We know about this new rule this year that we don't want to tax the pitchers and stuff, and that basically the manager or the team can just say, oh, the inning's over, we're good.
Just in spring training, right?
Just in spring training. But I'm just saying is
I'm
like,
perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, honestly. That they're like,
oh yeah, it's spring really? Training. Who it's gives? Training. Who like, gives?
I understand that, but it's not. Like, but that's not real. like, where do they learn about some adversity? Like, I don't know.
It yeah, but spring
weird.
Training is
like,
not meant to teach you adversity.
No,
it's meant
it's
to
not
like
a, it stretch no, people no. out, oh, get people oh, healthy,
oh,
ready to
wait
go.
Wait a second, you guys are totally wrong. Did you not see what the Mets did this week? About that, they did this training exercise about we're gonna try not to make an error for 27 outs. And then when they finished and they got that complete, they did a World Series celebration.
That's great. But I mean, a couple things. One, I mean, the Mets can keep dreaming. Second of all, if they want to set, like, it's not saying that every time a pitcher hits 20 pitches, they have to, you know, they have to call the inning or pull them.
No,
it's just
no,
saying
that
like the
that.
Option exists, right?
Yeah, I don't like it. No, I'm like, let them.
Oh, I don't care. It's spring training. I don't care.
I'm just saying.
If you're not liking what you're seeing as the manager or, you know, the pitching coach, or if you're there's some concern about them tweaking an elbow that they've been trying to work back from or something,
then
it's better to err on the side of caution.
Then put another guy.
Well, but maybe they don't want to pitch another guy today. Mm. Maybe they don't want to pitch another guy on that day.
Guy who's coming in with no, you know, without warming up.
Yeah. I know.
I don't know about that.
I think protecting pitchers
it's
in spring training makes
spring
a lot of
training
sense
zoo.
Because these games
no,
are
I,
so...
I, can't, I could not care. I would agree with you. I could not care less. But let's not make this a mockery of then why not just play...
Oh, my
little,
God.
Let's
it's
just
spring training
let's
zoo.
Let's just have a little fun glow then. Just why do you even have games then?
You
if
need
you're
to...
not going to have some kind of game, it still has a somewhat of a game, doesn't it? Like, you just want to stop that. I don't like what's going on. We're just going to stop the inning. Okay.
You're not stopping the game. You're just stopping that inning.
Yeah. Well, but you're not doing that in the regular season. So, I don't know. Anyways, there you go. I'm off my soapbox there. That's all right.
Well, that's one rule change. I don't know if you guys read the piece about rule changes that are being tested in the minors this year.
Is this about the mascots get to call the third inning? Is that true?
No. So the list of rules
and that should be okay with that.
See, that wouldn't be a bad one.
Could you imagine Goldie tossing someone?
So it's a bunch of experimental rules designed to kind of affect the pace of games and get balls in play. So they're doing it at several different levels in the minors, like different things at different levels in the minors. This was a Anthony Castrovince piece on Thursday. So one thing for player safety, slightly larger bases with less slippery surface is being demoed in all AAA leagues.
Oh, nice. I'm a big fan of this.
So I think this one makes a lot of sense in terms of just like on the face of it for player safety. a good one.
I mean, no players are getting spiked at first. No players are sliding off the bag. No players are hyperextending knees. Bryce Harper would be a two-time MVP. I like all of it. It's great.
So a requirement that all four infielders have their cleats within the outer boundary of the infield dirt when the pitch is delivered. And this is all double A leagues.
Okay, I don't understand that one.
So this is basically like one against the shift, like against dramatic shifts, which I'm a little bit.
Say that again. Two infielders on each side of the bag?
All four infielders have their cleats within the outer boundary of the infield dirt.
Oh, so they can't have like five outfielders or something like that, right?
Yeah, and then when you do the shift, the player you can't send the second baseman out into short, into shallow.
I don't like that one at all, actually.
See, I'm not as big on like limiting the shift. No,
if you want to have nine guys on the left hand side,
if the guy can't hit to the right.
Right, exactly. Then
yeah, I agree with this. I don't agree with the rule. I agree with you guys.
I mean, you know what? We don't like the shift. Then players got to adjust to the hitters. Shift, right? Like, I mean, you know, guess what? Ted Williams, if he was around today, he still hit pretty probably close to 400. He'd probably hit 500 because you're on the left. I'm going to hit on the right. You're on the left.
Nobody's shifting against Ted Williams. Let's be honest.
You know, any great hitter worth their salt, right? I mean, to me, it's like the shift isn't really putting a lot of time extra on this.
They want balls in play.
Sure, fair enough. But here's the other thing is
just again, learn how to bunt.
But that's stop, Ryan. That's not never going to happen now. But the
what do you mean it's never going to happen? Bryce Harper last year stuffed. No, you don't sack bunt. If you notice,
I'm going to say, but they don't do sack flies, let alone bunt. I mean, sack fly is almost obsolete, let alone bunting.
It's not a sack bunt. You bunt for a hit. If you notice,
I understand that. Yeah,
Bryce Harper did it a couple times last year, and it really took away from how often people shifted on him. I mean, David Ortiz used to do it. You notice the entire left side is open. You just drop a bunt down. It doesn't even have to be a good bunt. All you got to do is get it far enough down the line. Because nobody's getting to it. People are ridiculous.
I will say one thing, going back to the first part about they were trying to speed up the game. I didn't hear in these in any of the new minor leagues that they're going to do. Are they going to limit the time in between innings? Because that could be a good one to look. Oh, they'll never do that because that costs money, right? Because that's about the money. Like,
yeah, the commercial breaks are not
right. But that's the whole thing about them, right? Exactly. This is the whole point. Oh, we got to speed up the game. I'll be honest. I'm kind of sick of this. I've watched last year alone. What was it? 4-hour NFL games. Give me a break about like, you know, and they have very little game time when you
oh yeah, it's like 20 minutes like, of actual action,
something like that. It's even less than that, Mike. I think it's like 10 to 15 depending. Well, maybe you could get to 20, but if that said, it's like to me, it's like you really want to do that, you know, but the four balls or whatever, like you're saving 20 seconds. I mean, whatever, you know, cut if you really want that, you want to you know, then you cut in between the innings, which they'll never do because it's called money. No. But I got it. But let's not, you know, just, you know, be real here, right? I mean, it's a joke here about like, you know, about speeding up the game. You know, so what the thing about the pitcher, you can only change after three batters, right, and all that. It didn't speed it up. I mean, the World Series was very long and stuff. But the thing is, when you get into playoffs, they're never going to do this. You're gonna say, oh, the clock is off, so you that pitch doesn't count.
I don't think it's ever about the amount of. I mean, trust me. First of all, games have gone up in time. Precipitously, like very heavily over the last, 20 years, 30 years or so, like demonstrably so.
That's coincidental with the rise of like the starting pitcher not going as far in the games.
There's also the juice ball where you're getting 200 home runs in a game.
I think it is largely due to the fact that like there are less event outcomes, right? Like we're talking about less balls in play, less fielding opportunities and stuff like that. And I think even though home runs are exciting, you know, balls in play are also exciting. Stealing is also exciting. Errors are exciting. Great fielding plays, all exciting. And when the other two outcomes of the true outcomes are basically a ball zipping by a player who swings or doesn't swing, and that player walking either to the dugout or to first base, you know, those aren't exciting. As much as we are all pitching junkies, most of the time strikeouts on their own aren't super exciting.
But you know, be old man on the stoop here.
Walks are even less exciting.
Greg Maddux was pretty good back in the 90s, and his games were like 2 hours just over when you're pitching pretty good, right? Like, you know, either balls are in plays.
Mark Burley is an even more recent example of that.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So again, it can happen. It's just that, I don't know.
But I mean, like, on the opposite end of that, for every single Greg Maddux and for every single Mark Burley, there's a Marcus Stroman and a Johnny Cueto, right?
Oh, No, and don't get
and
me
who,
wrong.
Who's the Dodgers relief pitcher or former Dodgers relief pitcher that was taking like almost 3 minutes per pitch? Is it Pedro Baez? Took an absurd amount of time.
That's warranted. I get that. And, you know, the same thing, like Jeter he'd be doing his ticks there, you know, in the batting box before, you know, he gets ready to hit every time. Right. I mean, if you're in the box and you're in the box and let's go. Right. But just have stuff on the ticker there, put more ads on the uniform if you want to make more money, and cut down on.
Well, I just think pictures.
Like,
I think
you can save 15 minutes real fast. Real quick in a game,
build your ads into like, you know,
exactly.
picture ads.
Yeah,
right. You could have pitch. I did see one thing last year. I think it was they started, or maybe the last couple of years, that they've had ads on the mounds. I don't know if you guys.
Yeah, why not?
They have like on an ice surface. How many ads are there on the boards or on the ice now? Right,
a lot.
And on the boards, like speaking of the boards, if you look at like the backstop, you very often the broadcaster's overlaying some sort of ad, like a green screen kind of thing.
Exactly.
Those could be GIFs. Like, they don't have to be like static images.
Yeah, no, right. they could absolutely. And, you know, you could have the play going on, like the pitcher, you know, throwing their first pitch while it's like, Ram trucks, whatever the heck. Right.
I just think there's different, like, I mean, if you're going, you know, if you're really serious about it, I think there's ways you can minimize impact on the economy but to actually deal with some of the time issues, right? I mean, yeah. I just feel they're tweaking it, right? There's a little tweak here and there and stuff. But especially when we get to the postseason, all bets are off. It's just like there's no clock that's ever going to happen that someone's like, oh, that pitch didn't happen because the time ran out. Like, it's never going to happen in the postseason. So then why have all these rules when in the postseason it's just back to 3.5-4 hour games anyway? And
not to bring it back to hockey, but why does hockey have all these ads if they're not going to enforce them in the postseason? I don't know, man. Who cares? Playoff baseball is playoff baseball. You just toss it out the window anyways. Who cares?
Yeah, that's fair enough. I'm just saying then it's just kind of ridiculous to do all this stuff if you're not really going to go all the way with, right? Then if you're going to do it all the way. Like,
maybe.
You know, I mean, for me, it's like, I don't mind that a game doesn't have to be 3.5 hours for me. I watch a great game of 2.5 hours. It'd be fantastic, right? But I mean, there's a happy medium in there. It's just like, to me, it's just like, you know, especially the tinkering of the you know, you're trying to outlaw like a strategy of baseball. Well, you know, it's up to the players and the team to figure out. Well, you know, if they're doing a shift, then
yeah, I agree.
The shift.
Like, I agree with that.
It doesn't make any sense to me. But
learn to drop a bunt or go the opposite way. Like,
all of the above.
So other league rule changes. So in the low A West teams, a 15-second pitch clock is being introduced. Right. I should point out that they're doing these in different levels and leagues in order to help kind of like almost. Just isolate the change to see what the effects are.
Are they doing automated umpiring?
Yes. Low A Southeast is doing robo-umps, ball strikes, automated system. And then there's two rules around pickoff attempts. One is a requirement that all pitchers must step off the rubber to attempt a pickoff. That's in high A. And then in low A, it's a limit of 2 pickoff attempts per plate appearance.
That's great. That's a good one.
I don't mind that one, as one. because back in the day you could have, like, you know, when they used
like a 2 minute stare down. Yeah.
Yeah. Not only that, but you would have, like, let's just say, you know, I don't know, Ricky Henderson or someone who's really good on the base pass. You know, you could have like 5-7 throws, you know, which absolutely does nothing, because the first time you actually throw to home, he's going to steal anyways. Right.
So, well, like, I mean, so it's shown that every single pickoff attempt reduces the chance of a successful steal by about 8%. So, yeah,
okay, there's a drag effect. I get that. But I mean, first of all, they rarely are there steals now, right? Like the steals have dropped, they've plummeted over the last 5 to 10
correct.
Years, right?
But so, I think the amount of pickoff attempts, like the fact that people know that that's the case and the amount of pickoff attempts, those are all things, right? So
right. But I'm just, so you're saying if they had that rule in place, that would help? Is that what you would say, Brian?
I think they're all
which way help for oh, to have people
Steelers.
Steal?
Yeah,
okay. I would agree with that.
So yes. I think two things that they're doing are going to help the push the amount of steals. The first thing is I very much believe that the bigger bases are going to help, because it's, you know, it's inches, right? It makes a difference. And the second thing I think is going to help is limiting the amount. I am a strong advocate that you should be able to only go one pickoff attempt per at bat. But I mean, two's a step in the right direction. I think we're going to get more steals because of this, which I'm happy about. I love
there
steals.
There might be more steals because of the larger bases too, because it means that they're 3 inches closer to each other.
That's exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Bigger bases means more steals. The combination of the two, I think, is gonna be a big thing. Yeah.
And then is the deal is after this year they're gonna evaluate? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. So this was Michael Hill, MLB's president of on-field operations, the former Marlins GM, saying that these are, you know, essentially all being kind of tested based on feedback from not only the players and executives in the major leagues, but also from fan submissions as well. And so they're looking to kind of test each of these at these different levels over this year to kind of determine which ones they would best carry forward for 2022. And the MLB is still continuing its 3-year partnership with the Atlantic League, where they've been testing and adjusting experimental rules and equipment changes as well. But those, any changes for this coming season haven't been announced.
That's fair enough. I don't mind that. I'm good. You know what's weird? I don't know. So we're taping this on usually the Thursday night, then it'll air on Friday. So this is the 1 year anniversary of when spring training closed up shop last year, which is crazy when you think about it. Like, I don't know if people have seen over the last week, there's sort of like the 1 year anniversary of a lot of things that, you know, came about here, but basically this is kind of when sports stopped in North America and pretty much the world, right?
Well, it was, I think the 11th was the Gobert. Was it not the Jazz game that got?
Yeah, and I think the next day all the other major league teams kind of shut it down, right? So, I mean, it's interesting because if I'm not mistaken, in the States for this year, Texas, I believe, is trying to do 100%.
Thing open. And yeah. my team is going to be there in their first homestand. So, like, I can't wait for all my beautiful young adult children to show up on the COVID list. What are they doing? It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, that governor proved himself ineffectual during their storm too. So surprises.
I think
I have
only
many
three,
thoughts and many words.
There's only three teams that right now do not have something opening up on an opening day for their stadiums. It's pretty crazy, right? Like, I mean, cause I think it's also interesting because we're still in sort of, we're not there yet, obviously in Canada, but you know, we're talking about what, 3 weeks away, less than that, and they could have what, 40,000 people in a. I know it's open, right? So in Texas, it's open air, right? It's not the dome doesn't have to be open or closed, but still, isn't that? It just seems a bit shocking, like that can happen.
Yeah, nothing shocks me when it comes to those kind of decisions in the States.
Yeah, I guess not.
And on that dour note, looking at time,
I didn't mean to.
I know. I just happened to look at the clock.
Way to go.
Let's Let's take it from angry to sad, though. Well, let's talk about what's on the pity party.
Before that, I would just want to say the positive would be, you know, down the road as we get closer, is that the Gold Eyes might be available to watch in person this year. So that is
Yeah, we're not going to get our shots before then, though.
You might, actually. It's sounding like you might.
Yeah, we'll see.
Obviously, I'm not going to trust anything that any of the governments are saying at this particular point in time. But
with
because
the way that they've managed the rollout so far, I can't imagine.
They've transitioned to first shots first policy, which mean and with the new vaccines that we're getting, I highly recommend that you go seek out official, more educated sources on this matter.
Sure,
but I've heard and read that you know we might all get first shots by the end of the summer. So.
Oh, fingers crossed on that.
Yes, please.
What is on the pity party this week, Brian?
There is a new album out from Tiger's Jaw, one of my favorite bands. And so I'm going to be playing a couple tracks from that. I'm going to be featuring a whole bunch of local bands in a nice little block. And probably try and play some happy songs towards the end of the show because I've had a good week.
Oh, wow. Well, good for you there. No eyelashes lost this week. Well, good for you.
Yeah,
no, the weather warmed enough that there's no risk to his eyelashes. Well, that's it for this edition of the Bench Jockeys. We'll be back next Friday. Stick around, of course, the pity party at 1 p.m. And I guess you can say it now, Chris, because it's spring training.
Oh, well, why not everyone just play ball?
Oh, my God.
Strike three, you're out.